Hi everyone, you're listening to a podcast that I've titled Reading Qualitative Research. If you haven't read Qualitative Research, this podcast will be very beneficial to you as we begin to read research articles this semester and actually conduct qualitative research. What I'm going to do in this podcast is talk about some of the hallmarks of qualitative research and how they're different from quantitative research, and also give you an overview of validity in qualitative research, which will be helpful to you as you read qualitative research and try to determine if it is quality research, if it's rigorous, if it's systematic, and so forth. At the end of the podcast, I'll talk about the contents of journal articles. You'll be doing a literature review and knowing if an article is research or not is going to be really important. So we'll talk about those as well. I'm talking from a reading that is on my website. The author of the reading is Bryman, and the name of the article or the chapter is called The Nature of Qualitative Research. You're not required to read this chapter, but after I talk through it, if you feel like you still don't quite get what qualitative research is, I highly recommend you download that and skim it. You won't need to read it closely, but it'll give you some more background in more detail than what I'm going to do right now. So here we go. Qualitative research is different from quantitative research in many ways. The main difference that you'll notice between quantitative and qualitative research, and most people tend to simplify this, is that quantitative research is focused on statistics and numbers. It uses data from surveys and extant data that's sitting in databases. It's what I call armchair research. And I'm definitely biased because I don't do that type of research. And then qualitative research has found its way into educational research through people who in the 60s were looking at what anthropologists were doing. Anthropologists were going and studying other cultures, doing field work, interviewing people, and studying problems that way. So educators decided that they would also begin using a qualitative approach. It's very different in many ways. First of all, the number of people being studied is a lot less. You know, in quantitative research, there's sometimes hundreds of subjects or people who are participating. And in qualitative research, there may only be five. But there's a reason why, and because qualitative research is more interested in depth rather than coverage. And that's the first hallmark that I'll talk about here, is seeing through the eyes of people being studied. Qualitative researchers are interested in other people's perspectives on issues, more so than filling out a Likert scale and just saying agree or disagree with an issue. Qualitative researchers use multiple methods, such as interviewing and observation, focus groups, and document analyses, things like that, to be able to get an insider's perspective of what's going on, which leads to the next hallmark of qualitative research, which is description and an emphasis on context. When you read qualitative research articles, you'll see that they're much longer than quantitative. Qualitative researchers are very interested in describing the context of the study in depth, so that readers of that research understand the frame and the natural setting in which the phenomenon is happening. There's an emphasis on process in conducting research. In quantitative research, it's very linear. You have a hypothesis, you test the hypothesis, and then you see if your hypothesis is true or false. Qualitative research has no hypothesis. It simply has a research question that is being posed at the beginning of the study, and that research question can shift. And that's not a bad thing, because if you're actually studying people in their natural settings, then you may become interested in issues that the people articulate rather than what you go in thinking might be something that is important to study. So that's the emphasis on the process is really important in qualitative research. A lot of times, qualitative researchers refer to their research process as cyclical, where they have a research question, they collect some data, they analyze the data, then they go back and collect more data because the questions may have shifted for them a little bit, or they want to follow one tangent rather than another. So there's a lot of flexibility in qualitative research. And finally, the concepts and the theory that come out of qualitative research are grounded in the data. They're not trying to prove whether a concept is true or false, which is what quantitative researchers tend to do, is they're working on a proof. Qualitative researchers aren't interested in proving anything. They're mainly interested in trying to describe a phenomenon and getting to the roots of what might be a problem and then coming up with solutions for that based on what people have told them. And that's where the action research approach comes in. One of the main hallmarks of qualitative research is that the researcher is the instrument. In quantitative research, the statistics are the instrument, the numbers, the computer program that you might use to run the numbers will analyze the data for you. In qualitative research, you as a human being are the one who is supposed to look at the data, analyze it, and tell us what all of this means because you have been working with the people that you're talking to. So that's just a very sketchy overview of the kind of research that we're conducting and reading this semester. It will become more familiar to you the more that we read, but keep those hallmarks in mind as we begin reading research this week. Some critique of qualitative research I need to mention is that people say that qualitative research is too subjective, and that's just the nature of the beast. If you have a human being who's interpreting data, then that human being brings a certain lens to the research, and that's just something that is addressed in the research, which leads to other critiques. It's difficult to replicate, and you can't generalize qualitative research, and that relates to because it's too subjective. Well, qualitative researchers aren't interested in replication or generalizing. They are wanting to describe a unique phenomenon that is localized, and if you're working on solutions in your communities, you don't necessarily want to read other research and try to apply what happened in other communities to your community, mainly because it's different and the context, again, is very important. So the replication and the generalization is just it's not a goal in qualitative research. So as you're reading qualitative research, you don't want to be thinking in terms of, well, we can't generalize this to another setting, or we can't replicate this study because there's too few participants. And that's just not something that qualitative research is interested in doing. So how do you know that if you're reading qualitative research, how do you know that it's good research? I'm going to just go through a few things that you can be on the lookout for as you're reading. First thing is something that's called triangulation. What you want to look for is that there's lots of sources of data in the research. Interview data, observational data, document data. They use different data sources and data collection methods. They talk to different groups of people, not just students, but students and teachers, or not just teachers, but teachers and principals. And so you've got different sources of data and different data collection methods. You also want to look for what's called member checks. Do the researchers let the participants look at the data and say, did I capture your thoughts accurately? Did I represent you accurately? And a lot of times researchers will ask participants to help them to analyze data. Is the researcher working with peers and colleagues to analyze and collect data? That's something else that you might want to look for, that because of that element of human subjectivity, is there collaboration going on that keeps the findings rigorous? Is the researcher critical of their own analysis, or do they acknowledge the limits of what they can know? Do they acknowledge the limits of what they can understand? This idea of acknowledging limitations is really important in qualitative research because, again, of that the element of context and how contexts are different across research sites. Another hallmark of qualitative research and being able to assess if qualitative research is credible or not is the time spent collecting data. How long have they been in the field? Have they been in the field, 3 months, 6 months, a year, 2 years? That the longitudinal nature of qualitative research is what makes it valid and credible and rigorous. Also, you should look for that what's called rich, thick description in qualitative journal articles. You want there to be very few questions left as far as where the research took place, who the participants were, how data was collected. There's a lot of description, almost storytelling around that, so that you can actually imagine what's going on. And also, this is back to the issue of replication and generalizability. While qualitative researchers aren't interested in generalizing, they are interested in what's called transferability. So do you know enough about the research context to be able to transfer the findings to your site if it is indeed a similar site? So in other words, you want to know a lot about the research site so you can determine if the research findings make sense for the problem that you're experiencing. We'll talk a lot about these hallmarks of qualitative research as we go, as we actually start reading the research. I want to shift now to the kinds of organizational features that you'll see in a qualitative research article. It's important to understand that not every single one of these may be in this order that I'm going to go through them right now, but they largely, this is the format that they'll follow. So when you start reading an article, and what you might want to do now is pause the podcast and pull out your first journal article that you need to read for class and just flip through as I'm using this terminology to see if you see the headings and the sections in the journal article. So the first thing you'll see is probably an abstract that gives you an overview. And then you'll read something that will be like a background, some background information. And this can take on many forms. It can be a background to the issue. It can be a large contextual background to what's going on in society, that sort of thing. But there'll be some kind of introductory material that'll be background in nature. Then you'll get to a section that's called related research. Sometimes it's called review of the literature. And in this section, researchers go through and summarize and synthesize all of the research that is relevant to their study. Now, I just said all, but of course no one can find all. What qualitative researchers look for is the most current research that is applicable to what they're doing. They don't go very far back in time because they understand that history matters and that some research that was conducted in the 70s may not be relevant anymore. So qualitative researchers tend to just work within the last decade or so with lit reviews. And lit reviews are not extensive in qualitative research. They really do more to frame the issues rather than setting up the hypothesis, which quantitative researchers do. Okay, so there'll be some literature reviewed there that's synthesized by themes, and then it'll move into the purpose of the research or research questions, and those are always framed as the purpose of this study. That's how you know you're reading a research article. You always need to look for the research question. If you can't find a research question or a phrase that starts the purpose of this study, then it's not a research article. So you just, you're not reading research at that point. Then the next section will be something on methodology. It'll include who the participants are, the data collection methods, the activities, the research site. This is where that rich, thick description comes in for the first time. You really get to know where the research took place, who were the informants, who the researcher is, and all of that contextual information should come in the section of methodology. Then you'll have a section where they may describe analysis with the methodology, or it may be a separate section. And then you'll get into findings and interpretations of the findings. These are usually organized by themes or subheadings, so you'll see some subheadings that might be some sort of assertion or some sort of statement or even just a one-word theme. And in that section, you should see lots of data. You should see what participants had to say about the issue. You should see descriptions of observations. You might even see some document, photocopies of documents or things like that. But in the findings sections, you actually see the data, you read the data, you're able to judge for yourself what you think about the interpretation of the data. The author should tell you what all of this data means. And finally, you'll get to a concluding section or a discussion section. This is the big so what section. In this part, you're looking for do the authors make some claims that are grounded in data, and do those claims make sense based on the methodology and the data that they collected? You're wanting to understand why this research was so important. If the writer doesn't make any kind of claim about how this research can make the world a better place, or schools a better place, or libraries, or reading classrooms a better place, then you might have to question, you know, why they did this to begin with. So you're looking for, in that end section, qualitative research wants to add something new. They don't want to simply replicate what's been done before and prove, yes, this is a good method. They want to say, you know, we've evaluated this program. This is what we saw as weaknesses. So here's what we're going to do now. There should be some element of how we move forward with this, what we're going to do next. And then finally, there should always be a references section there toward the end, in the correct format that is used in the field. And in our field, of course, it's APA.